guest and help, you can find a spot. Amen? I got a brief message, then the guys are coming. Not long with me this morning. My story for His glory. Say that with me. My story for His... Can you say it a little louder like you got one? Here we go. My story for His glory. Amen? What am I talking about? Let's go with a little something from the Scripture. Two particular times in the New Testament, stories of real people with real changed lives. I just have loved them over the years. The one is the woman at the well. The woman at the well. Okay, but this is another one. This was John 9. A guy was born blind from his birth. And this story has always gripped me, and I just love it. And also, the great song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, was written from this passage. And that's the greatest hymn ever written, Amazing Grace. So it touched John Newton as well. I want to share it with you. As Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was what? Blind from his what? Birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that this thing happened to him and he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Keep looking. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day the night comes when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the what? Light of the world. Who's the light of the world now? Us, exactly. You and me. Amen. Let your light so shine. When He had thus spoken, He spit on the ground. He made clay of the spit, and He anointed the eyes of the blind with that clay. Put it on his eyes. He said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and he what? Washed. And came what? Seeing. It's just a great story. But what's great is what follows, too, this story. And I'm keeping rolling because I ain't got much time. Keep going. So we see this man got healed of his blindness. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he which sat and begged? So the neighbors saw the change in him. Say, neighbors. Okay, my story for His glory. So his neighbors saw something different in him. You got that? That's what the Bible says. And some said, this is it. His neighbor said, ain't that the man that was born blind? Remember that? But yeah, that, but that's him. And then some other folk, not even his neighbor folk, some others said, yep, that's him. And then say others. So my story for His glory is going to be my story to my neighbors. It's going to be my story to some other folk. It's going to be my story to some other folk. Got that? Yes or no? Amen. That's what his story was. So others said, that is he. But here's what's important. My story for His glory. It's not what they said. It's what He said. Guys, my story's not going to work for you. Did you hear me? Yes or no? You need to have your own story of how Jesus Christ radically came into your life and changed your life. Amen? Yes or no? Y'all hear me or not? I mean, your neighbors can say it, and some can say it, and others can say stuff about you, but nobody can say it about you like you should be able to say it about you. Y'all, have I lost you? Have I gone kooky on y'all already this morning? Ain't but 7 minutes. He's already gone nuts on us. Look at it. Yep. Listen, say that with me. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. Can y'all help me now? Come on. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. So this fella met Jesus, got his eyes. And boy, I mean, people started seeing him. Neighbors and some folk and some other folks, they all talking. But nobody could tell it like he could tell it, what Jesus had done for him. We all remember that? Keep looking. Your neighbors need to know. Some might already know. Many others do not know. Okay? They don't know Jesus. They don't know what's happened in your life. That's the thrill of me having these guys here today. You don't know them. Some of you might have seen them. Most of you never have. So we don't want you to tell their story. We want them to tell their story. You listening, yes or no? Nobody can tell it better than you boys what God did for you. Amen. You listening? Come on. Almost done. So nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. We're almost done. Keep pushing me, Rod. Here we go. My story for His glory. They said, how? Therefore they came unto Him and said, how are your eyes opened? How are your eyes opened? Keep going. He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus, he made some clay. He anointed my eyes. He said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed. I did what? I received sight. So he said, keep moving. When it comes to your story for his glory, tell it like it was and tell it like it is. Say that with me. Tell it like it. And tell it like it. One more time. Tell it like it. And tell it like it. I grew up in the old school church where if you told about your bad life that you had lived, oh, you're giving glory to the devil. That's a bunch of bull. It was my life. This was the way it was. You want me to clean it all up so I don't offend you? Sorry. I want you to see the crap and the hell that Jesus Christ saved me from. Tell it like it was and tell it like it is. Did you hear me? Good. They brought him to the Pharisees, the guy that was blind. They took him to the religious folk. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Keep looking. And so the Pharisees ask him, how did you receive your sight? Keep looking. He said, he put clay upon my eyes. He washed me, and I do see. Okay? Talking to the religious folk. That must have been hard for him to do that. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for what? Did you see how he didn't change his story? He got around the religious folk and he didn't pretty it all up. Say, are y'all hearing anything today? My story for his glory. So they investigated. And that's all right. That's all right. They investigated. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. They called his parents of him that received his sight. We'll go find his mom and daddy. They asked him, saying, is this your son who you said was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered him and said, we know this is our son. We're not the brightest bulbs in a box, but we know him. And he was born blind. But by what means now he sees, we don't know. We don't know who opened his eyes. We don't know. He's of age. He's old enough. He can speak for himself. So they intimidated. They were trying to intimidate his parents and trying to intimidate him to get him to shut up his mouth. Are you listening or not? Say. So they tried to intimidate him. These words spoke his parents because they were feared of the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man confessed that he was of Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So keep looking. That's why his parents said, he's of age. Ask him yourself. Keep looking. They interrogated. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. We're almost done with my part this morning. And he reiterated, nobody can tell your story better than you. Okay, some neighbors might want to talk about you and some others, and they might get it about right. Nobody can tell it better than you. People might even try to get you to shut up. But guess what this boy did? He reiterated. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I do not know. Say that last part with me. One thing I know, that whereas I was, now I was, now I, help me now, I was, now I, one more time, I was. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, has saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now what? I see. Nobody can say it better than you, what it is that God has done for you. Amen. Can you say those words with me? My story for His glory. Welcome, loving hands. Joe and the guys. They're coming to tell you their story for His glory. Welcome them this morning. Come on, guys. Lay it on. Praise the Lord, man. Praise God. Come on.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be back at Fellowship Church. I may look familiar to some of you. In 2009, I was attending Fellowship Church in the Lemon Bay Auditorium. And my story starts pretty. That was basically where my life began to change a little, but it had started rough to begin with. I was very, very blind, even when I was coming to this church. At the age of 12, I began getting into drugs for my first time. I began rebelling. I had seen my parents go to church at a young age, but most of the time it was just, it seemed like, to make my grandma happy. My parents didn't get along very well. They ended up divorcing, so I ran from God and I ran to other things. I began rebelling, getting into drugs, and it led to alcohol. The smoke and weed led to more drugs. By the time I was 18, I was introduced to an Oxycontin, which is a strong narcotic, a pain pill that they usually issue only for people that have broken their back or cancer. And this drug began taking over my life. It led from that. When I was addicted to this drug and I no longer had it, I'd be sick and I couldn't function. So it led to someone introducing me to heroin. I began using heroin on a daily basis. I couldn't function without it. One of the side effects of heroin is that you can't stay awake. So I would nod out on these drugs as I would be driving. I would be driving to work and I would pass out in rush hour traffic and bounce off the median downtown Indianapolis. I would be driving one time on Interstate 74 and I woke up. I had went all the way across the median through the grass and I was heading towards oncoming traffic. I had woke up many times to come outside to find my car was totaled all down the side. So I was very blind. I was blind to even how bad my addiction really was until people began pointing it out to me. And I ended up in jail many, many times. But I got saved radically in 2007. I'd been to jail a lot of times, but finally someone introduced me to this man and I could see. But I had no training. So I fell back into the drugs when I would try to tell my friends about these drugs or about this Jesus that could get them free from the drugs. And my grandma at that time had moved from Indianapolis down here to Inglewood, Florida. She was the one Christian that was solid Christian in my life. So in 2009, we bring it back to the point where now I'm attending Fellowship Church. I would sit in the back left of that auditorium with my grandma and I would cry out to God, set me free from these drugs. You had did it before. I had my eyes had been fogged again. I had been fogged because I hadn't truly been set free. And see, I was so blind. I want to tell you my past. I was so blind that I came into church one morning and had a friend with me. And I ended up taking a pill from him. And I went to the bathroom in the church and snorted this pill and came back in for worship, crying out to God to set me free. I was very, very, very blind. I would take the magnets because I wanted to tell people about Jesus. I wanted them to know about this Jesus, but I didn't know how to live for Him. So I would take the fellowship magnets and I'd put them on my car to tell people about Jesus. But I was still living in my sin. I was still blind. I was still running around with the wrong people. And I would go to bars in Inglewood, getting kicked out of certain bars. I would go to clubs in Port Charlotte wearing this magnet on my car. I even came out of church one time, out of your church. I came out in the morning. And I had been kicked out of a church down or a bar in Placida Road, and I came out, and someone out of all the cars out there in the parking lot, mine was the only one that had spray painted all down the side. Someone had came out and spray painted, and I cried to God. I cried right to my grandma, like, why? And I believe the Lord was allowing me to go through stuff to see where I really was at and to see how blind I really was. But see, it was in 2009. When I attended this church again, and Pastor Gary had Loving Hands Ministries here, just like this, sharing their testimonies, I finally had hope restored. And when I came into Loving Hands and I got accepted into the program and truly began surrendering my life, God set me free. I really was blind. I was blind even after hearing about Jesus. I hadn't experienced the love of Jesus that set me free. And when I came into this ministry, God radically changed me. And I began going out and proclaiming the good news. I'm now a minister of the gospel, certified, received credentials. I've been able to preach in many, many churches. I go up north and I preach up north. We go on mission trips. I was privileged in January to go to our work in India to preach in many different locations to people that have nothing but are still serving God. I preached at leadership conference. So see, God took me. I once was blind. See, I was a heroin junkie. Society wanted to throw me away. I was no good. I was blind. I couldn't see. I couldn't stay out of jail. I couldn't stop from harming everybody around me. See, but God took me. He set me free, radically set me free and set me on fire with the power of God in my life, with evidence. Evidence. I no longer struggle with drugs. I no longer struggle with any of my addictions or alcoholism or cigarettes. Nothing. God has set me free. He set me free from an anger that would cause me to jump out of cars going down the highway. Anger that would cause me to headbutt brick walls or punch walls. He set me free. The Jesus. I once was blind. But now I can truly see, and you're going to hear these stories of what God is doing through men's lives, truly taking the blinders off of them. And it's amazing what He does when He truly sets them free so that they can see. Daniel?
Praise the Lord. Good morning. My name's Daniel. I'm 31 years old. And first, I just want to say how grateful I am to stand up here and to testify about how great God is. You see, God has pulled me out of a life that was so terrible. At the age of 12, when I moved to Sarasota from Cincinnati, I got in with a crowd of friends that all used drugs. I'm not blaming them, but that's just who I hung out with, and that's what I became, was a drug user. My whole life growing up, I'd steal from my parents to get a fix, and it got to the point to where I was putting needles in my arms every day, all day, smoking crack cocaine, stealing from mom and dad, brothers and sisters who had children. I'd break into my dad's business and steal cash bonuses for Christmas. Bonuses people depended on from my dad. And I'd gotten so far in my addiction to where I just didn't care anymore. I didn't care where my life was headed or who I was hurting. But I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I wanted to change desperately. I tried so many things. I tried NA. I tried AA. I tried moving across the country. But I was powerless. I couldn't do anything. After getting a few months clean, my heart was still the same. The condition I remained in didn't change. My heart was still wicked. And I had these chains of hopelessness and shame and regret choking the life out of me. As if the devil wasn't doing a good enough job destroying me and stealing my life and my family from me, I had this other problem. I had this huge mountain in front of me called unbelief. I didn't believe in God. I hated Christians. I persecuted them. That's why I stand up here so grateful today for God, who loved me when I did not love Him. So thankful for the many chances that He gave me. I'd wake up in the hospital with my young mom holding my hand and crying and say, "Daniel, thank the Lord that you're still alive today." But those were empty words to me. I believed in no God. I'd tell her, "Mom, how is there a God and He continues to let me live in a life like this?" But little did I know, one day God was going to answer one of my mom's prayers. She prayed for me for 15 years. And one morning when she was flying to Ohio, she prayed a short prayer on the plane. She prayed to the Lord to move in my life and to keep me safe while she was in Ohio, because she was never promised to see me again. I put needles in my arms. And when she landed in Ohio, she got a phone call from my dad saying, "Daniel's in jail again." But little did she know that was going to be my divine appointment with God. I was locked in a cell with a young man who at the time I called a Bible thumper. I didn't like Christians. But God got a hold of me in that cell. This man told me who Jesus was. 27 years of my life, I walked around not knowing who Christ was, because no one ever told me who He was and what He did for me. But He did. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He poured love out on me, read the scriptures to me, and I could feel God pulling on my heart. And the first time in my life, I went to chapel on a Wednesday morning at Sarasota County Jail. And I remember lifting my hands up to God, and I had bruises on each of my arms. I was so ashamed of lifting my hands up. But I had to. I had to give my life over to Jesus. You see, I tried everything else and nothing worked. I want to tell you that day when I lifted my arms to the Lord and I just said, "Lord, just pick me up, fill me up, save me. I'm tired of hurting my mom and dad." I was desperate for a change. And these aren't tears of sadness. These are tears of joy, because the Lord came down that day and He picked me up. He broke the chains. He moved that mountain of unbelief. Jesus Christ restored my life. He was the answer. He was the solution to my problem, and I give no one else glory. I don't deserve any credit for what happened that day in that jail cell and in that chapel. Jesus Christ set me free. And He's restored many things to me now. My family now has hope. I have hope. No shame, no regrets. His glory, right? Tell my story for His glory. Thank you, Jesus. I'll leave you with a scripture verse. It's Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God bless you all, and thank you. Love you, bye.
My name is Jay. I'm 27 years old. And today I can stand here in front of you and tell you we serve a good God. I was the epitome of a sinner. I was blind. I was caught in addiction. I didn't grow up with my family. Early on, I grew up in foster care all the way to the age of 12 years old. So first and foremost, I dealt with rejection. My father committed suicide at the age of 12. So then I dealt with a father that I felt didn't care. More rejection. And then I put myself in a group of people. And what they did is they got high. And what they did is they drank. So I chose the drugs. I chose to drink at the age of 12 years old. And it followed me all the way until I was 24 years old, half my life until I came to Christ. I was lost. My life was becoming more dark. I was robbing people for the fix. I'd go into people's homes when they were home, and I'd do home invasions for the fix. I faced many times in jail, many times in institutions. My whole high school experience was wiped away. From 14 all the way to 18, I spent about 3 of those years incarcerated. I missed it. I chose to miss these things. I lived a homeless life. Now, not only was I a drug addict, but I was homeless. I felt pitiful. I felt despicable. I couldn't uphold anything. I couldn't even uphold myself. I couldn't keep a job. I couldn't do anything right. And then I landed in drug court. Drug court had enough compassion on me in the middle of my addiction to put me in a halfway house for 2 years. Halfway house didn't change my life. It didn't. There's no formula that can change a man's life. There's no formula that can change a heart. Only Jesus Christ can change the heart. And I didn't know Jesus Christ when I was in that halfway house. And shortly upon leaving that halfway house, I caught myself in a relationship with a woman that I thought I was going to marry. I was with her for almost 2 years. We were engaged. And I got a phone call that they found her dead. She committed suicide. On top of all these other things that I was dealing with, I turned right back to the drug. Fast. I came back to Florida. And I hit it hard. Almost died 3 different times. Woke up in the hospital. Didn't have to wake up. But the grace of God, but the mercy of God on my life. I see that God had a plan for my life. I see that I didn't understand it then. I rejected God. I rejected people. I hated people. But can I tell you, I despised myself. I couldn't even stand myself. I couldn't stand who I was. When I started using drugs, I used it because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the feeling. I enjoyed getting high. I enjoyed the way it made me not feel. I enjoyed the way it made me fit in with people. But by the time I came to the end of my addiction, I was in utter misery. I hated it. I couldn't stand having to chase a drug every day anymore. I couldn't stand having to do the things that I was doing to people to get money. I couldn't stand being locked up. I came to this ministry when I was 24 years old. And I didn't come to this ministry to find God. I didn't come to this ministry to be set free. I came to this ministry through my selfish heart. I seen free, and I didn't have to leave. I thought it was an easy way to just slide undercover. I thought I can just rest my head and recover and move on with my life 18 to 24 months later. But God had another plan. He used my selfishness against me. I came to this ministry, and within 2 months, in the first 2 months, I tried to disprove that Bible. I was flipping through it. I was following along. I tried to disprove it. The more I tried to disprove it, the more God proved Himself real and faithful. The more He kept speaking to my life and speaking to my heart. And when I gave my life to Christ 2 months into this ministry, it has been the one and only true change in my life. I felt different. I didn't wake up bitter. I didn't wake up angry. I didn't wake up craving a drug. I didn't wake up craving a cigarette. I no longer carried these chains and bondages. I had a mind. I had a choice. I didn't feel like I had a choice before. I felt like I had to act the way I had to act because that was just natural or normal. I felt like I had a freedom to choose how I acted. And it was only because of Jesus Christ. As Joe and Pastor will say, it's not the ministry. It's Christ in the ministry. It's Christ through this ministry that permeates the heart. And I thank God that He showed me His mercy and grace long enough to grasp His calling and to walk in the victory of our Lord and Savior. I'm going to leave you with my scripture verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. Thank you.
And that's an example of, that is what Loving Hands does. Pastor Wendell, for over 32 years ago, as a pastor of a church, he began ministering in jails and prisons. And he would see these men in there that were blind. He would minister to these men. He would feel like he made progress. They'd receive salvation. But then after they would get out, within weeks of coming back, he would see them back in the same jail again. He began taking men into his home. Men just like me, men just like Jay, Daniel, and Gus, who you're about to hear from. He began taking these men into their home for no charge. We don't have any money. Most of the time when a drug addict or alcoholic gets to the end of the rope, or just any sinner, it's because they have no money because they have nowhere else to go. And then they look up to God. And the true one, they bring sight that removes the veil. And that's what Pastor Wendell has been doing. He's raising me up now to take his place. So had it not been for a church like you, that allowed Loving Hands to come and share the heart of the ministry, to let Pastor Wendell share his heart for the troubled young men of this generation, I may not be here today. And now God is using me to help this ministry, to be Pastor Wendell's assistant, his right-hand man, be there anytime he needs anything, and now raise up more disciple makers. And that's what you're seeing, and you're going to hear from Gus, another powerful testimony of what God can do.
Good morning. Got a handsome model right here. We're just going to show some product real quick. We have t-shirts, hats. This t-shirt was one that Joe created himself. He has a vision to reach out to the juggalos. It's a woman carrying a cross. The back of it says, Jesus loves juggalos. It's a subculture. If you want have questions about it, you can see us at the table. This is one of my personal favorites. This one says, religion doesn't save people, Jesus does. We have bow ties. We have ties. We got surprises too. We got kid wear. Praise the Lord. Thank you. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to see us at the table. We'll be more than happy to take any requests. It's great to be back in fellowship. We love you guys. It's been such a blessing. Pastor Gary, I love you. He's the real deal. You know, what you see is what you get. And he's a real man. And the story that you preached about this morning is very, very significant in my heart. You see, a few weeks ago, I was meditating on that verse, on that story. And people around you that are nearest to you sometimes are going to scrutinize and question this Jesus you are following. The people that are closest to your life. And I remember I was reading over this verse when they're questioning and interrogating this blind man who was just healed by Jesus. And all these questions he bypassed. And he says, I don't know all these things. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. You see, my loved ones, the people that are dear to me, could question, who is this Jesus that you now serve? That you worship and raise your hands? That you lift up and yell for Him? That you get passionate for Him? Who is this Jesus? And I'll tell them, I don't know all these things you are asking me. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. I know that I was touched by Him. I know that He died on a cross and He resurrected and gave me a new life. That is the Jesus I know. You see, and I was living aimlessly my life. Running around in Miami searching for a purpose. Because I didn't know of the infinite purpose that God had created me for. So seeking after this purpose, I was pursuing stuff. You know, jewelry and women and all these things. To a degree, it's not wrong to do that. But the infatuation of trying to get it fast and live a fast life was leading me to destruction. I remember I saw my father struggling with addiction all his life, all my life. I would get home and I would see him drunk. And I would hate to see my mama being hurt physically. And I remember when I would see her being handled by a man in the wrong way. I used to run as far as I could from my house. And I used to cover my ears in the bush, just hiding, hoping I could get away from these nightmares at home. You know, when I started hanging in the streets, I didn't want to be at home. But I started feeling acceptance and love by the guys in the streets. And sure enough, I was living this lifestyle. But I remember I had my best friend David. I love him dearly. Something happened to him. He had a change, a glow to him. He met Jesus. And I had a little hope when I saw him. I said, if he could change, anybody could change. There had to be something. I remember he'd walk around the neighborhood with his Bible and he'll tell us about Jesus. December 1st, I was in jail, and I called him collect as I did every day while I was in jail to get some type of positive word from him, and he prayed with me. And he read me the Proverbs of the day. He told me how much he loved me. And I remember December 2nd, I was bailed out and I got home. And all my family was dressed in black in the living room. And my best friend was shot and murdered. The godly mentor that was raised up to plant seed in my life was killed for $20 that he had in his pocket. I try to figure things out on my own. Try to put human logic to things. You see, but our human logic would lead us away from God because sometimes life doesn't make sense. You see, and I try to figure out, why is he dead at 20 years old? Why am I staring at my best friend in a coffin? And at that very moment, I walked away from God and I didn't want anything to do with him. And not until 3 years ago that I thank God for his mercy today. I thank God for his grace. Because I should be in hell to speak truthfully to you. A friend of mine knocked on my door. And he said, hey, we got 25 kilos of cocaine coming in from the port of Miami. We're gonna take these kilos of cocaine. We're going to rob them. The two men that are going to have those drugs, we're going to tie them up. My friends were going to go in the house and take their lives. They were going to kill the men. I was going to be the getaway driver. This is how the sin grew in me. It started with a little rebellion, and it was ending with conspiracy to murder. But God had a greater plan. As I shared in the first service, I had a mother that was praying for me faithfully, a grandmother that was praying for me faithfully, an aunt that was praying for me faithfully, and I had a God that was hearing her prayers. And the week of the robbery, something happened in my house that my cable got cut off. And I was trying to watch the Heat game in the playoffs in game 6. And I took the getaway vehicle we were going to use in the robbery and I went elsewhere to watch the game. And I was all by myself and I could hear my friend's voice ringing in my ear. He said, stay home. You got to be well rested. We have to be up at 9 a.m. at the scene. And I went out anyway and I drank all night and I overslept and I stayed in a hotel. I woke up. My friends went without me to do the robbery and to replace the driver, my friend Sergio, who lived directly in front of me. And those men that we thought we were going to rob and kill were undercover federal agents. And those federal agents opened fire on the vehicle. And they killed my friend who replaced me that morning. You see, it wasn't a coincidence that I wasn't home. And when they knocked on my door, I wasn't there, so they had to get Sergio. And I had to sit in a federal cell facing 55 years to conspiracy to murder. I had to get bailed out to see another friend in a closed casket with two teenage children crying over their casket. I had to see this to come to the realization that life was greater than what I was wasting my life on. My precious mother gave birth to me for a reason. Before the foundation of the world, God had an infinite plan for me. And my mama knew that. And I was wasting my life away. But I thank God is no doom and gloom because I can stand today with confidence and boldness and say the good news works. The gospel works. I can tell you right now, confident, that Jesus is alive. You say, how do you know if he's alive? Because he's alive within my heart. I'll end with this as we were singing the song. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Those words, it says, holy, holy, holy is he. Those words are so powerful. I'll tell you why. The background of those words is the character of God, as Pastor Wendell says. But it comes from a scripture in Isaiah chapter 6, where the great prophet was commissioned, sent forth by God. But before he was sent forth, he saw God in a vision. And he saw the power and the glory, and he saw the angels saying, holy, holy, holy is he. And in that vision, you know what he recognized? His unholiness, his impurities. And he said, woe is me. But you know he recognized as well. He recognized the power of God. He recognized the glory of God. And right after that, he says, send me. I will go with confidence, knowing that he was a servant of living, powerful God. You see, I don't have to broadcast. I don't have to sell something to you. It's no gimmicks. I am confident that there is a God in which the angels sing, holy, holy, holy. So with confidence I can declare, Lord, send me, I will go. Send me, I will go. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. My life verse is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you.
Do please keep me and Gus in prayer, and one of our other friends, Isaac, will be leaving a week from tomorrow to be sent out to this wicked subculture called the Juggalos. You can find more information back there. I have letters, update letters from the past 3 years. But it's a festival about 7,000 to 10,000 people gathering. Their music is nowhere on the radio. They have a net worth of $40 million, so $10 million a year annual revenue. So it's a very big organization and subculture, but it's so underground because ABC News says it's like nursery rhymes laced with murder. That's what it sounds like. They sing about cutting people's heads off, but it's a subculture I came out of, and God has allowed me to go back into that subculture. We've been going for 3 years now. Gus came with me last year. He's now being able to go again with me this year. So God is sending him out, as he said, send me, I'll go. In this culture, there's drugs running rampant. It's basically like a 4-day camp out party with 100 music groups singing about sin, glorifying sin, and they're partying. The police are not allowed to do anything, so they're there giving out drugs, selling drugs openly. Some don't have clothes on. Some are actually worshiping Satan. And so please keep us in prayer as we go. Keep us covering. God's opened the door. We've even had the co-owner personally contact me from that organization, that record label. So God is doing amazing things. See, Loving Hands is not just this right here. Loving Hands is so much bigger. We have another location. We have our work in India with 160 churches under our covering, an orphanage with 45 children. So God is doing amazing things, and this is what Loving Hands is. This is what the heart of it is. We travel to over 100 churches a year, taking them in to share their testimony of what God has done in their lives. And as Daniel said, it's not the program. We just get them into a position to hear God. Because see, the devil in the world is so rampant. See, the world is so rampant with sin right now. It's all up in the media. It's all up in the media, the music, and it's bombarding our children. And see, what we do is we get them into a place to be sanctified, set apart. We do a physical setting apart so that they can truly be sanctified in God. And as they're set apart, the Word begins washing their mind. They don't have the TV. They don't have all these ungodly influences. And then they get a hold of God. And God gets a hold of them and begins working through their lives. And that's what it's about, because we were blind and now we can see. And that's why I get so passionate. That's why I know Pastor Gary gets so passionate. Because if you knew who I really was when I used to come sit in the back of this church, you wouldn't want to be around me. But see, I see now. God has truly opened my eyes. And that's what we've came to share today. That like the Samaritan woman that he preached about in the first service, that no one wanted to do with. God still loved him and God still loves you. And you need Jesus just as much as anybody else. Please, Gary will tell you, Pastor Gary will tell you, don't be fooled to think that you're not as bad as these guys. We are like radical cases. Our sin is just very apparent. Drug addicts have an apparent sin problem. But we all have one. And Jesus spoke to the rich people that attended church, the Pharisees, and paid their tithes. And they were whitewashed tombs, he said. So today, I hope you've experienced this Jesus. I pray you've seen him. And I pray you'll take the opportunity when Gary gives you to truly accept it and experience this love of God that is so powerful, that takes the wretched, takes the blind, and makes them to see, and that makes them holy in his eyes, and begins using them to spread the gospel. Thank you for your support of Loving Hands Ministries. If it wasn't for Pastor Gary allowing us here, I don't know if I would have seen him, because we don't go to many other churches in this area. So you are a great part of Loving Hands Ministries, sowing into this ministry with your prayers. And please keep us in prayer. You can log on to lovinghands.net to see more information. See the men at the table. Please grab a brochure if you have loved ones that are struggling with addiction, or you have friends. Take a brochure. Give any one of our men to write the name down. We'd love to pray. We pray and pray and pray. We have intercessory prayer Monday through Sunday at 1 p.m. And we'll be praying over your prayer requests. So many people have submitted names. And we get the men in and we have a big notebook. And the men will be reading through it after they've been there some time. And all of a sudden it's their day to pray and they're flipping through. And their name is in that notebook that was put there a year and a half ago. The power of prayer. It works. And we're here. We're here to serve the community. We're here to do whatever we can. We will help you as much as we possibly can. So please, see us at the table. See Pastor Wendell down here. Get with Pastor Gary. When I came to my rock bottom, I had stole the last money out of my mom's checking account, or my grandma's checking account, over here, right there in Englewood. And I said, I knew what I was doing. I said, Grandma, I need help. And she said, well, we sat down at the kitchen table. I'll call Pastor Gary and talk about that ministry that was there. And that was the seed that was planted to now bring me to this place for Pastor Wendell to be able to raise me up to disciple these men for the next 60, 70 years, however long he gives me. So thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Gary.